guys, again, this is Craig from The Mindful Habit, and so glad you are here on our call. And today I want to talk to you about an article that I came across yesterday entitled 15 Simple Sentences with the Power to Change Your Life. I absolutely love simplicity. I have in my head actually like designing a whole program around cliches. Cliches are wonderful. They've just been around forever. The glass half empty or half full. And of course, I can't think of any of the cliches I normally use in my work, but that's one that just comes to mind, is that perspective. And so reading this article highlighted 15 sentences, and I will include it, the link to the article below. But I thought I would go through some of these and talk about how they connect to the program, how they connect to me personally, and how they connect to us in our mission to change our lives. And number one, I really like, it's never compare your weaknesses to other people's strengths. And this actually ties in a couple of different places. Number one, of course, you've got this ego, this place where we see ourselves in comparison to other people, which is entirely natural. But it does put us at a place of, I think, an emotional disadvantage, a one down position when we're always comparing ourselves. And you know people like that, or you've been that person in your life. I know there was, you know, decades in my life where I saw my success, I saw my happiness through the lens of other people. In fact, for me, it was how much money I made. What title? Oh my God, the titles were so important. I remember a boss telling me like, you're doing a great job. Why? Like, what, you know, like I wanted the promotion. I had to be director. I had to get to director level. I had to be a director. And she's like, listen, your time's going to come, man. Just chill out. But no, I had to, you know, I'm an attorney, for goodness sakes. I need a prestigious title so everyone knows how important I am. The other thing around this focus that this sentence references around our weaknesses is that we have been conditioned, I think, in our society to focus on the weaknesses. In fact, you're seeing a new movement in human resource development and corporations, things like Strength Finder. If you haven't heard of that, look it up. It's a really cool program. But basically, the whole premise is, you know what? We've been spending years and years and years shoring up people's weaknesses. Instead, how about we focus on their strengths? And my complete and utter failure gave me that opportunity, because when I lost my second job, I now lost a big, big, big job where I ran Esurance's compliance department. I'm now unemployed. And like, what am I going to do? It certainly wasn't run an insurance company's compliance department. Again, certainly my, you know, it wasn't public. I wasn't in the paper, but you know, despite being a big industry at that level, it's pretty small. So everybody, I was damaged goods. No one was going to hire me. And I remember, you know, what am I good at? What am I good at? Well, I've always been passionate about helping people. I'm good on camera. I'm a good writer. I'm good at solving problems. I've always been good at kind of getting inside people's heads. I'm good at creating structured programs. I did that through some of the e-learning work that I did in corporate America. And I said, I got a big mouth. I'm always telling people about my story. And I was adopted. I was molested. I was abused. I was this. I watched porn. I didn't advertise the porn and the prostitute stuff. But nonetheless, that was kind of a shortcoming of mine. I never played my cards close to the vest. I always was an open book and shared too much. And so we said, you know what? Why don't we just share everything? So never compare your weaknesses to other people's strengths. So number two, own your life or someone will own it for you. And to me, that sentence embodies the ultimate in accountability, right? Because everybody who calls me, I tell them, or in the, you know, course of our relationship, there's only one place that you need to look to get the life you want. And I have no doubt that each of you are surrounded by challenges. Challenges with your spouse, challenges with work, challenges with your children. That's life, right? But the one place you got to look is in the mirror. So I really like number two, own your life or someone will own it for you. So it's really, really think about what that means. It's really the ultimate in accountability. We cannot change the cards we are dealt, just how we play the hand. That's number three. I love this one because this reminds me of a statement that I make 100,000 times a week, which is your triggers are biologically hardwired, right? There's no place, there's no universe where you don't notice the attractive woman, you know, basically wearing nothing, walking down the street, or you don't see that image of the attractive woman on any of the commercials or in the, you know, bottom right-hand corner of the Yahoo page. It's there because you've got industries that spend millions and millions of dollars exploiting our sexuality as men, trying to take advantage of it. And there was recently a South Park episode. It was absolutely hysterical on in-app purchases and kids spending $5,000. And what they talked about in the episode was how the industry knows that there's only a small percentage of people who are going to buy in-app purchases, but those people actually account for 80% of the revenue. So they're taking care, they're taking advantage of people and of their natural cycle, their habitual nature. It's like the slot machines and all the psychology that go in or around that. So there are certain things about ourselves that we can't change, particularly if there's a physical disability or something to that effect. But in this case, our triggers are biologically hardwired, and so it begs the question, what are we going to do to them? Number four, climb mountains, not so the world can see you, but so you can see the world. Do it for you. Do it for you. And a lot of guys come to me, and they want to do it for their wives, and that's admirable. They want to do it for their kids, and that's admirable. But why not for you? Why aren't you the most important person to you? And what I have found, guys, time and time again, when men are able to stand in their masculine energy in connection with their partners and actually articulate what they really want and be true to themselves, is when the couple starts moving together. So that is very, very important. So climb mountains, not so you can see the world, but so you can, not so the world can see you, but so you can see the world. Own your shit. Do it for you. Do it for you. Five, if you accept your limitations, you go beyond them. I like this because when I understood and started to learn concepts like your triggers being biologically hardwired, with accepting that reality, well, that now gave me an opportunity to do something about it. So it's a perfect example to illustrate that point. Number six, I'm not going to read them all, but just a few more that I wanted to highlight. Comfort is the enemy of achievement. Comfort is the enemy of achievement. We are creatures of habits, brother. We have this tendency. We're like water, right? And once it gets stagnant in the beginning, right after the rainstorm, it might look pretty. Then the leaves start to fall in. Some animals start to fall in. And then before you know it, it's just a disgusting, smelly cesspool of a swamp, right? And so that's when we get comfortable in our lives. And that's, I think, what's driven so many men to, you know, pornography. There's no excitement in their lives. They're not doing anything for them. They're caught in the parent trap. They're working. They're doing, and not doing anything for them, not moving their life forward. And they get comfortable, and they slip into this pattern, and then that takes them down the rabbit hole because of the power of your sexuality. Number nine, I'm going to jump over a couple. And if you're following along in the article, cool. Seven and eight are important. But number nine, don't give others the power to control your emotion. Those are only yours, and it is only for you to manipulate. This is for my men in relationships. This is for my men who are in relationships whose partners know about their compulsive sexual behavior and whose partners ask them on a regular basis, what are you doing? What are you watching? What are you looking at? Did you look at porn today? Did you do this? Did you do that? And, of course, what do we as men mostly do? Not all of you, but most of you. We're projecting mom onto our partners. We now have got a power dynamic in the relationship. The wife is up here. You are down here. And what happens? You get defensive. You get argumentative. You move away from love, and all that does is undermine her unsafety and enhance her insecurity. So in that moment, when we experience that energy shift in our body, that's the alarm clock. That's the that you know what it says to me? It's like, wake up, wake up. And I tap into selfish guy, particularly when I'm dealing with Michelle. And it's like, selfish guy, you know, your wife's upset with you. She's asking you questions. Did you do fix the website? Did you call this client? Did you do that? No. And boom, here I am getting defensive instead of being grateful that I've got someone who cares enough to help me be successful. That's a whole different story. But I would instead get defensive. And now I'm able to step into that moment. I'm able to step into that space and get what I want. What do I want? Sometimes I just want peace and quiet. And if I want peace and quiet, the next word out of my mouth better be something kind, compassionate, and loving. Because anything other than those three categories, I'm in for a night of discord. So again, owning my stuff, owning my stuff. Let's see, any more that I wanted to cover? Here we go. The person that you will spend the most time with in your life is yourself. So you better try to make yourself as interesting as possible. Think about that for a second, right? The person that you're going to spend the most time with in your life is you. Is you. So when you guys get off this call, you can stand in front of your mirror. This is an exercise that I teach. And just look at yourself. And just stare for 60 seconds, for 120 seconds. And just look, and do you like what's looking back at you, right? Use that powerful exercise to stare at yourself and see all the insecurities that come up, because everything that comes up, now you've got identified targets that you can start hitting using the tools in this course, namely voice dialogue technique. And you'll get to that for some of you new guys who haven't seen it yet in due time. And so this part about making your life as interesting as possible, well, listen, that's what it's all about. That's what Viktor Frankl talked about in Man's Search for Meaning, right? This was a concentration camp survivor. How did you come out of the camps? This enlightened being with love and compassion and founder of this logos therapy, and goes on to write one of the world's bestsellers, Man's Search for Meaning, because he had meaning in his life. He found meaning even in one of the most deplorable conditions known to modern man, in the concentration camp. And so I really connected with that. And that's why I want all of you to find your meaning. And I know a couple of you right now working on the goals part, right? And here's what I need you to do when you set your goals, whether it's at the beginning of the course, in the middle of the course, or at the end of the course, is ask yourself, not only what do I want to accomplish, what does success look like, where do I want to go, but why? The why question is the fuel. The why question is the passion that's going to move, keep you moving towards that place when we are confronted with the trials and tribulations of life. So anyway, that article's entitled, let me scroll back up, 15 Simple Sentences with the Power to Change Your Life. Read it. Think about how you can incorporate your favorite one or two into your life. Use these tools to embrace your power of choice. It's always there. Love you guys, and I will see you next week.